Wouldn't it be great if three idiots picked apart each episode of your favorite podcast?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if we discussed the newest episode, ongoing theories, and predictions for what comes next?
We do that. Wouldn't it be great if they didn't ruin the podcast at all and kept everything spoiler-free?
We don't do that. You've been warned.
Welcome to We Do That, a Taz Fancast. I'm your co-host, Chris.
And I'm your co-host, Richmond Jake.
And I'm your other co-host, Colin.
This week's episode, the live show from Dallas.
Okay, guys, here's a bit of a synopsis for you. Magnus, Taco, and Merle are back. I know you're all excited for that. They hop on the back of the battle wagon with Hurley again, set to take down another random assortment of racers. Clint displays a surprising amount of competence, sort of. Magnus is burdened by indecision, and Taco, naturally, summons his sidekick, Steed. That's most of what happens. And there's some planes.
Are there stuff. Also trains and automobiles?
I don't think so.
I mean, if they did another live episode where they do a Rockport reboot, then yes.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
I mean, I do love it. I get down on that for sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would.
Jake, you normally cast a spell right now, but seems unnecessary. Should we just get into it, boys?
So before we get into it, I want to briefly describe sort of the campaign that I have launched for us. The three of us are all in Richmond, Virginia right now. It is a very good city.
Well, not like literally right now.
Okay. Chris is not literally in Richmond, Virginia. His literal house is.
Yeah.
But he is not.
And his figurative house. Where's his figurative house again?
Why do I try?
I mean, it's for sale, though. It's going to be for sale real soon if you want it. Someone can come have it.
Oh, that's true. That is good.
It's not good. It's bad. It's a bad podcast, but it's definitely in it now. I'm going
to listen to this one. But like I said, Richmond is a very good city that
very good.
The McElroys have never been to.
Never.
Which we think is stupid.
Bullshit.
So I have started the hashtag bring the McElroys to Richmond in hopes of... No, it's pretty good.
RVA Yackelroys.
Well, you got to remember, Twitter allows like 280 characters now, so you can really stretch out those hashtags.
Yeah, there's plenty of room. So, if you are in an area that would easily reach Richmond and would be interested in seeing a live show in our fair city, or if not,
and you just want us to be able to interview them on this podcast,
boy, that super won't happen.
I mean, look, it happened for the West Wing Weekly guys. It could happen for us.
Fair. All right.
I mean, that would be a really good episode. But all that to say, if you're interested in getting some other sort of mid-Atlantic shows, tweet it. Anytime you talk about the Zonecast using the hashtag bring the McElroys to Richmond, and we'll see what we can do.
So all y'all who live between, let's say, Charlotte and Baltimore, hit us up. That sounds right. That's like a drivable.
Yeah, for like, sure.
A committed drivable distance.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I don't have to do it. I live there. But, you know, someone might want to.
And
we've got lots of pretty theaters they can come comment on.
We do have some pretty good theaters. You can also tell that this is another episode where we don't have a lot to talk about because we really liked the episode.
I mean, it was real good, and battle wagons and competent women saving things.
Yeah.
And it was just, well, I guess they are dryads gendered. Or
I don't
I mean,
I don't know.
I think these dryads are. I don't know.
I don't think any of us know enough to really comment on this effectively, so we should probably stay away from it.
So what I really enjoyed about, you know, right off the bat about going back to our adventures with Merle and Taco and Magnus, was getting to hear that Mort Garson jam at the intro. It's just like it's such a part of our experience with the Adventure Zone. That it's really comforting to sort of slide back into and get to hear that. As much as I love all of the music that Griffin has written, there's still something special, I think, about that tune.
Yes, I agree totally. And I think, I know that I personally formed some pretty strong sonic connections between emotions and music and different things. And that is definitely up there on the list. And probably the more sensible one, where it's like a theme song to the thing that I love. But I've made some other weird connections in my life that I'd like to briefly share. I don't know if either of you played the game Siberia, where you're possibly a woman who's an insurance adjuster, like trying to investigate this thing. But it was the same time when my younger sister, whose bedroom was next to mine growing up, got into Avril Lavigne. And so playing whenever I hear Avril Lavigne, which is not all that often, but I think of that game because it was constantly coming through the wall while I was playing that all the way through. That has always struck me as one of my stranger associations, but the memory is so clear and that pairing is so distinct.
So for me, it's the Decemberist album, The Hazards of Love, and the first Spyro the Dragon game.
Yes.
Because that was all I did freshman year, was rock out on the PS1 and listen to the Decemberists. And so, like, that album is permanently paired up in a really meaningful way with that game. So it's another sort of weird connection.
I don't have any.
Yep, that tracks.
I've got
nothing. Sounds about right.
Do you
at least get some warm fuzzies about the Adventure Zone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love hearing that theme song again. Or that tune again. Although it is always different to hear it when it's being piped through a crowd. And you can sort of feed off the energy of the... You can sort of sense the energy in the audience even though you're not there. They just have the mics turned on. That I think is always cool.
So let's do that meta podcast thing we're doing a little bit. And I think there's... I have noticed, and maybe it's because I... do sound production things, but Griffin makes a lot of editing choices in the beginning of the episode that's like sometimes he mixes in the raw audio of them playing the Taz theme music, and sometimes he does it canned and then sort of crossfades it into crowd noise, and it I bring this up mostly to appreciate that that every moment they are thinking about, or Griffin is thinking about in post. Not that it everything is consequential, but I appreciate the work that they're putting in, that they value everything that happens. I don't know if any of our listeners are crossover listeners to Wonderful, but in the last episode, Griffin was talking about sort of things he's come to learn about podcasting, and I don't remember how he got there, but it was that you need to make every moment of your podcast valuable to your listener because they are spending minutes with you, and so those minutes should be valuable. Because if you have 100 listeners who spend 2 minutes listening to your podcast, that's 200 minutes of someone's times you may have wasted. Obviously, our podcast does not respect your time.
Yeah, I was about to say, Chris, is that really sort of an underhanded...
Oh, boy.
It's something that I want us to strive for as a podcast and as sort of content creators, but it's something that knowing that is the plan in Griffin's head makes everything seem so intentional. And I think there are definitely moments where you notice cuts where things maybe seem disjointed. I noticed a couple times in this episode where there are some disjointed cuts where there were clearly been some discussion we missed. But the fact that they're trying to prioritize the listener experience, just I appreciate that so much as a listener, as a fan, that they care. I mean, they've never done it in a selfish manner, but it just shows how much they're trying to create the best product possible, even when doing a goofy live show that's purely for kick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what that strikes me as is I wonder in their, you know, during the mini arcs and during Amnesty, and I wonder if that, like, I think this is something Griffin must have picked up over the years of doing his podcast, of his podcast experience. But I wonder if that's one of the reasons, you know, we noted the pacing felt so off on some of those, you know, if that lends to trying to get the story in over the comedy, you know, the prioritization of what's going to be in the episode. And
yeah, I wonder if there's stuff that happened that we just missed because the product they're trying to create would be so story focused to get to check those boxes that we just didn't get to experience the funny moments that were there, but not the focus of the editors, you know.
Yeah.
I think we can take it as maybe two different, there's two different Griffins. There's Griffin who's the DM and then Griffin who's the editor of the podcast, and they are priorities, while probably similar, have to be slightly different mm-hmm. in those moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, it's
Lord knows I'll rant and rave on our podcast and then cut it out because it's garbo later.
Yeah, I think it's something that I'm, you know, we had critique about those early mini arcs, and I feel, you know, having done this for, you know, what, 5-6 months at this point?
Yeah.
That, like, I can look back on those critiques that we had and be like, oh, you know, as a producer, I understand now.
Whew, not me. I stand by all Colin's my critiques.
Just here for the drinks.
I did, I mean, until we've started going bi-weekly, I did not appreciate what a difference a week can make in the timing.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I went through balance probably up to Stolen Century when it was still in back catalog, so I just listened to it straight through, maybe slightly earlier than that. But even when it was bi-weekly then, I have forgotten during the mini-arc sessions sort of how much time there is in 2 weeks. And then even for ourselves going bi-weekly, it's a big gap mm-hmm. before stuff shows up. I was actually wondering, this Dallas live show happened substantially earlier in this year, I think a couple months ago, and I don't know if they gave this thought to this, but I wonder if they shouldn't have done... If they knew Travis was going on vacation, I was wondering if they shouldn't have led off the bi-weekly transition with the live episode and then recorded their actual Amnesty episode and then just released it later so that we could have two back-to-back rather than doing the bi-weekly split, one episode, then a live show, and then a month later, the next episode. Because I feel like it really did kind of break the pacing of Amnesty for me. I feel very detached from the Amnesty world as the story right now. We're, you know, we're 2 weeks removed from the last Amnesty episode, which was 2 weeks before that. And we still have, you know, we'll be a month out before we get another one. It seems an odd way to start a long form campaign. I don't know how well they are at like looking at the calendar and seeing what people go. I know that can be hard to plan out, but it seems a strange. I wonder if they had the foresight to do that, if that would make it a little more consistent to just be Amnesty bi-weekly rather than this sort of live episode breakup that we're currently talking about.
Well, I mean, around. There's always going to be something that happens, you know. I agree that that I can feel some of the pacing issues that you're talking about, but I'm really not that concerned by it. I think that,
yeah,
you know, shit happens. And there are going to be live shows at other points during this that sort of fill in between. And, you know, maybe they're not at opportune moments in the story either. But, you know, that's life.
Yeah, I guess it's mostly just that the launch of season 2 seems like is a pretty big occasion for Taz. And I am surprised. Or maybe I'm not surprised. I think it's strange that they didn't put more thought into the episode release around that time period.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense. I think you're right. I think you're right that, A, there is a lot of time between 2 weeks. And when you're doing something bi-weekly, if you stick to that schedule, if you miss a week, you know, you're suddenly monthly, essentially. And that's a real long time. And now, I think the McElroys have been putting out enough quality product for a long enough time that they would not risk losing their audience in missing a week or, you know, having this pacing issue. But it is something definitely that I think, and I think part of it is just the nature of podcasts, right? It's not typically appointment listening. It's, you know, you have a day where you normally listen to it, and when it's there, you listen. So I don't know. That's where I'm getting to with it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a meaningful, I don't think there's a pithy statement to be pulled out of it of like that encapsulates my feelings necessarily. But it's one of those things that, well, I guess it's one of those things where, while I think there's value in us talking about this live episode that just happened, I think the reason we're here is we want to talk about Taz in general, and I feel like these live episodes give us an opportunity to step back and sort of talk about maybe the production side of things. I think it's fair that, you know, you hit a rhythm, and I think there's an expectation. But as long as Taz shows up, I'm certainly content with it, and I think you're totally right, Colin. They have enough faith and trust from their listening audience that none of us are going to go away when they miss a week. You know, we're still all fully engaged.
No, screw this. I'm going to go listen to God's Fall now.
I mean, you do you, fam.
Yeah. All right. So we got to write Jake off the podcast.
Just have it be better than getting hit with a t-shirt cannon, because...
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Also, that's bad podcast because it just sort of be like a smacking sound.
Yeah, but you get the really good sound of the gun of like, boom, funk, and that was way good.
Well,
but then what is the sound of t-shirt hitting face? Because it's kind of like soft on soft. No, more impactful. No. Not bad. Nope, that's just hands. I must have a piece of clothing nearby. Nope, bad. Hi, welcome to Chris's Foley Hour, where I make sounds. That's a horse.
I just want to see how many times Jake was going to hit himself with a pillow. This is a great podcast.
There's probably some good sound in there.
I'll find one. I'll find a real good one.
Anything for our audience.
Yeah, what was this about making sure we're not wasting the time of our audience?
Literally don't know. Immediately out the window.
Oh, gotcha. Really took that to heart.
Chris is going to have some editing work on this one.
Listen, I said I listened to that statement, not that I internalized it and I'm going to act on it. I heard those words be uttered by Griffin and thought, neat. Maybe I'll try that one day.
But it's not this day.
For now, you get a pregnant pause, and you get a pregnant buzz, and you get a pregnant pause, and also you.
I see what you did there.
I'm hilarious.
Well, I think we've navel-gazed for a while, so let's talk about the episode.
I think it's pretty killer. I think top level, I love the out that the, like, invincibility harnesses gave them throughout this entire episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I loved the ridiculous of it, too. You know? Or, like, the two Gerblins who get impaled.
Right.
But, oh, that's fine. They're invincible.
Yeah.
How does this handle piercing damage?
Yeah, I thought it was very well deployed. Like, oh, he... hits the propeller and is chopped into little pieces, but he's good.
His particles give you a thumbs up.
Yeah.
I also appreciated that there's a lot of our podcast namesake in this episode. A lot of, yeah, I do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which felt very validating that we didn't just pull this out of the air, and they do say those words.
Quite often.
Yeah, I always get those moments where it's like, oh, they said the name of the movie in the movie. Whenever they say... You know, we do that, or I do that, and it's like, yeah, we did good.
Got it. Merle was surprisingly competent sometimes.
Yeah. He cast Shield of Faith on Taco, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny.
Which,
because,
okay, I actually agree with, because Magnus's AC is fine.
Yeah,
if anyone's going to take a hit and have to worry about it, it's Taco.
But Taco's, like, in the car.
No, he's on the roof with the cannon.
Well, yeah, but I imagine it's, like, a recessed space in the roof. If I remember Pedals to the
in
Metal
either
correctly.
Case, I think, like... Well, but I think it came in handy because they encountered more situations in which all four of them were imperiled than, say, like, Magnus trying to draw fire as the tank while the other two weave some spell magic.
I just think from a classic D&D standpoint that would not be the typical move.
Right, and its ability to be a real spell and be used is not a Trace Horny Boys move either.
True, very true. So I just thought it was funny. He was like, oh, I'm the cleric. I should protect my team. Let me give it to the guy who's going to sit in the turret and shoot magic shit.
It's going to be great.
And not the guy...
Everything's coming up, Taco.
Not the guy who's going to jump around from wagon to wagon.
Get strapped to the hood, hoping he doesn't fall off. I have a question, though. So, wait. No, I just answered it. Damn it.
Nope, you got to share it with the class now.
So I was bad at counting again. Because it says they started in fifth, which means there's four battle wagons ahead of them.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, so there's the one that's the centipede.
Yep.
There's the one that's a vape pen.
Yep.
And then there's the two that are... Oh, it's two that are boxes, so that's four.
Which I loved how they dealt with that box.
I still don't fully understand what they all thought happened there. Because they... So Merle creates a portal
right.
to another dimension,
mm-hmm.
which is 5 to 20 feet wide.
Right. It drives...
Presumably, I guess maybe this is my fault. I assumed that those battle wagons, as described, were larger
than 20 feet
in
wide?
In my head, they kind of looked like sand crawlers.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's way big.
Yeah, dog, I think that's on you.
I mean, that's fine. That can be my mistake, we'll show.
I think they're like that's the sizes tough. Of cars in so far.
But they're squares.
Well, I mean...
I don't know.
I mean, old cars were squares.
Squares. Yeah, squares are...
I mean, it's like the...
Cars can be squares too, guys.
Yeah, it's like the Hummer. Maybe they're just like Hummers.
Or the Nissan Juke. No, not the Juke. The other one.
The Cube?
Yeah.
You know, the one that literally says it's a square?
Listen.
Well, a cube is three-dimensional.
It's built of squares.
I did love their solution to that of just, let's just pop this over in the astral plane. And then...
I mean, however, that's some Rockport Limited shit.
Yeah.
True, and I wonder...
I really enjoyed Griffin's moment of, well, it was almost like if the two of them had stayed lined up, something really cool would have happened.
Yeah.
But
no.
Yeah, I feel like there was a fair bit of Griffin being foiled in this episode, which I think is always fun to hear. We especially spend so much time talking about Griffin's DM styles, and to hear it just go like, well, I had a plan, but I guess they're dead now.
Yeah.
So
I also love him in the live shows when he's trying to get the guys to do something and they're just standing around. He did it in, I think, another one of the live shows, I think the Vegas heist thing, where he's like, all right, what are you guys going to do? And they just are thinking through it, or they're not, okay, all right, this shit happens. You guys don't get a surprise round. A gold shark is coming for you. It's like, I'll do whatever the fuck I want. This is my world.
Yeah, don't try to be clever. I have a plan here.
Yeah. Yeah, and we need to get this thing rolling. We need to have action for the audience. Like,
this did seem to be one of their more timely live Tazzes. Like, there wasn't the final 20 minutes necessarily of panic where they're like, I have 16 pages of story to cram in before this timer runs out.
Yeah, I think, and I wonder if he was able to cut more from the middle, like just remove battle wagons that would have run up on them as a way to, you know, save time.
Right.
But at the same time, they handled the situations in ways that did really move them forward quickly.
There was some very expedient spell casting and Magnus hitting things work going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely true. I did think it was funny, Magnus, in the episode, his indecision of just, oh, what should I use? I have so much. I can do almost anything.
I mean, I do have a, like, I know myself. If I had done a thing a year and a half ago and had a note on it, there is no chance in hell that I could find it now. And so the fact that he held onto his character sheet with a list of items on it is impressive. Even if it's digital somewhere, like, I would have deleted it or something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and I think, it reminded me, I think it was during the Suffering game where they were complaining about, like, things Griffin was throwing at them. He's like, look, you guys are basically gods. Like, you guys are so powerful, have so many magical items that you guys can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
And that, you kind of saw it in, like, Travis, like, oh, what should I hit him with?
One of my many axes.
Or, you know, Taco's spell doing, what, 60-10 damage?
Yeah.
Like, that's insane.
So good. It's so good.
It was a good show.
Yeah, this one's tough. It's, I don't have much to commentary on. It was very fun, and it was good. It has no implications for what's current.
No, well, and it, I don't think it was quite as good as the original Battle Car Race back in Pedals to the Metal, because, I mean, really, I think the characters are basically overpowered for the scenario.
Well, and there were emotional stakes that time, too. You know, they're overpowered, but we're also just racing for fun.
Yeah.
You know, we're not racing to save these characters that we've come to care about, or the world, or anything like that. It's just...
And that race...
That's just...
I think that race, like, took, like, 2.5 episodes. Like, it took a while to get through it, as opposed to everything in an hour. Which I get.
There was also 100% less Clarg in this race, which I think is just a massive missed opportunity.
I mean, fan service will take you pretty far, but there's a lot of fan favorites in there already to really get down on. I do think it's kind of like the live shows become the all-star game, where everything's just fun and everybody wants to see their favorite characters and nothing really matters.
And Abrica, fuck you, and Geralt, and yeah, the greatest.
Right, yes. Yeah. Talk about self-referential. If I may have a critique, I do think it is more fun when Griffin invents a sort of unique scenario to put the characters into than sort of revisiting some balanced locations.
Agreed.
You know, it's cool to do the Battle Wagon Race. I think Pedals to the Metal is definitely one of my favorite portions of balance, but I still think about that live show where they do Home Alone, and it's very, very good.
If you haven't listened to Taz Knights, you should do that.
Become a Max Fun subscriber. Go do it.
The one thing I did love with this episode, I agree with that critique wholeheartedly, but when the guy offers them like 10,000 gold pieces to not race, and they're just like, sure, sign. Okay, let's go do our shit anyway.
Yeah, no consequences.
That's very much like a Taco thing to do.
And I think it was clearly just a Griffin, like, I don't feel like dealing with this right now. Like, you know, he could have written in some sort of verbal conflict where they have to talk their way out of it or whatever. It's like, fine, you do it. Let's just go. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
I thought that was very funny that he would put that in there and then, okay, yeah, sure, whatever. It happens.
Well, and I wonder, Griffin is not one to not have a plan, so what happens if they sign the contract and then we're like, okay, we're not racing. Like, what's the fork there? What's the plan B for when they don't do the race?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought the same thing, because I thought it was very much like Taco to walk away, but I thought it'd be very much like Taco to, you know, Taco's good out here. Okay, I won't race.
Yeah, cool, money. I'm going to take these 10,000 gold and go to that bar.
Yeah.
And given how much thought Griffin clearly put into the race and all its dynamics, would he just, like, bring it back around again, have Hurley convince them or something? Or is there a whole nother fun sort of offshoot story that we didn't get to experience?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they would have just been, like, spectators, and he would have just, you know,
have... It becomes an episode of the three of them, like, doing commentary on ballpark snacks. Yeah. Like, oh, this caramel corn is terrible, and my cotton candy tastes like rabbit.
Yeah, and while Griffin...
That was a weird pull.
Yeah, I don't know.
While Griffin expositions the race.
Right. Yeah, it becomes like a weird Mystery Science Theater thing where the three of them are doing commentary on Griffin just narrating this thing he wrote.
That'd be pretty good. I'd watch that.
That'd be fun. I'd listen to that.
I'd listen is a better word to use there.
Well, maybe that's it, y'all.
So, thanks for listening to We Do That. Next time, we'll be discussing Amnesty again. We'll be getting back into the current campaign.
In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at WeDoThat_pod and tweet at us using the AtazFanCast hashtag, or you can email us at WeDoThatPod@gmail.com. Send us your reactions, thoughts, and theories
so that we can shamelessly steal them.
Special thanks to The Early for our intro and outro music.
New episodes of We Do That come out Thursdays after the Adventure Zone.
If you enjoy listening to We Do That, please rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and share this with all of your friends.
Bye, everybody.